My name is Bernardine Evaristo and my book is called Hello Mum. It's told from the point of view of a 14-year-old boy who lives in London, and it's about how he gets involved in gang life and knife crime.
Where did the idea come from?
Well, I was asked to write one of these quick reads, and they said it had to be written in a very simple voice, which I don't usually do because my work is quite complicated. And so I thought about the kind of thing that I could tackle, and I had been thinking for quite a while about the whole issue of knife crime in London. And then I thought, well, why don't I write it in the voice of a 14-year-old boy? Because his vocabulary won't be very sophisticated.
So how did you go about researching it, getting into the mind of a 14-year-old boy?
I went and spoke to some 14-year-old boys. I got in touch with some friends who work with young people, and I went and met with boys who live in London, and girls in fact. I spent a lot of time talking to them and finding out what it was like to be a young, they were nearly all black, a young black child living in London at this time, and what their attitude was and experience was of the sort of gang culture that's around, etc.
What is life like for them?
I did speak to some children who are part of a youth offending programme. But apart from that, the other kids I spoke to are kids who are active in good activities outside school, and they take part in drama groups and so on. So they're not all children who are involved in this stuff, but they all knew about it. That was what was so interesting. So they all knew about the issues at stake for young people and the risks of getting involved in the culture of crime that's on the streets. So what I learned was that it's prevalent in this city, that it's very hard, especially if you're living in certain areas, to not have knowledge of what's going on. If you're young and male and you're living in a certain kind of domestic situation where you have to get out of the house a lot, then you can end up spending a lot of time on the street. And if you spend a lot of time on the street, you're going to be vulnerable. One of the boys said to me, well, we live in a tiny flat. He's a big strapping 14-year-old boy. He said, I have to get out. Where do I go? Okay, so there's nowhere for him to go. And this is one of the boys who was involved in the youth offending project. So he goes out onto the street. And then if you're on the street, there's the culture of gangs and the whole thing around area code. So if you live in a particular area, you're supposed to stay in that area, and you're at risk if you go into another area. And then of course there's all the drug activity that happens as well. It's very hard to avoid it. Even if you want to avoid it, you need protection. So if you're a young teenage lad living in certain parts of London and you spend a lot of time out in the street, you're going to come up against gangs and you're going to come up against drug running. I think they feel very disenfranchised. They don't feel respected by society at large. They don't feel respected at school, and they don't like the way in which they're represented in the media and the image that's portrayed of them. If you're a young black child, for example, they said, almost without exception, that there are very few black teachers at school, very few black male teachers at school, and that when they do have black teachers, the teachers often relate to them differently to the white teachers.
Is that where the maths teacher comes into the story?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to show. So we have a maths teacher called Mr. Akintoye. That's actually a Nigerian name. And the boys like him because he's very forthright with them. He's not afraid of them. He's a disciplinarian, and they know where they stand, and they feel that he's on their side. And then they have a teacher called Miss Dixon. I don't say it, but in my mind, she's a white English woman, and she can't relate to them, and she's afraid of them. But I remember talking to one girl who said that somebody had disrespected her when she was a bit younger, and so she phoned around all her female friends, and they did this blacking up where they just completely covered themselves in black clothing and hoods and scarves, and they went round to the girl's house who disrespected her and beaten her up. And that was shocking to hear, because this was a very well-spoken, very articulate, very charming young woman telling me that this is what she'd got involved in. For me, one of the most important things is that they don't feel part of the society that they're in, and so they form their own communities, and they're almost like outlaw communities.
But you absolutely nailed it, because it brought back to me, when I was a teenage boy, how terrifying that time is, because you have your gang of mates, and you're fine when you're with them, but when there's only a couple of you or you're out on your own, you are constantly looking over your shoulder all the time. How did you get across that feeling of, I need to be safe, I need to be with a gang that's going to make me feel safe and important?
Yeah, well, my character Jerome, known as JJ, well, I got him to experience a term I came across, which is called hypervigilance. And they say that these children, these boys, are constantly in a state of vigilance, exactly what you're describing, that they're always looking over their shoulder, that they don't feel safe anywhere. So as soon as he leaves the house, he's walking outside his estate, and he knows that he can't cross to the other side of the road because that's another estate and that's another area code and that's run by the B Block boys. So he knows exactly where he needs to stay. One of the boys who had been part of this youth offending project, he said to me, he was in Hackney, he said, I can't go to Brixton because let's say I go into McDonald's in Brixton, somebody will come in behind me and say, yo blood, what ends are you from? Meaning, where are you from? And that's a challenge. I think it's really just tragic that what I take as my right as a citizen of this country to walk anywhere I like, okay, sometimes you have to be careful where you go a little bit, that's not applied to these children who feel that they're kind of restricted. I just thought this is tragic. They're teenagers and they're often killing each other over the most ridiculous things. So for example, if somebody gives you the wrong look, that's seen as a sign of disrespect, you can end up dead. There was a boy who died in Islington at a bus stop and he was stabbed by another boy. They didn't know each other. It was nothing to do with gangs even. But one boy gave the other what he considered to be a disrespectful look and he killed him. It's ridiculous. And also when I think back to the 70s, which is the time I was growing up, young black boys in this society were also vulnerable. They were vulnerable at the hands of, for example, racists and skinheads and so on. Now it's all turned inwards and they're actually killing each other.
Another thing that I found really heartbreaking were those glimpses of how young Jerome is when he talks about his younger sister, when he talks about how much he wants a bottle of Coke, and the gang that he joins, they're all really tough, but then they're going on about how cool their bikes are and how great their trainers are.
You're right, Jerome is a kid, and that's what I wanted to get over. He's 14. He's only lived 14 years on Earth, as he says at the end. The other issue that I was exploring was that of these boys. The world they're living in, they need to prove themselves to be strong and brave and adult, and they do that in a very macho way, and unfortunately, in a sort of criminal and violent ways in sometimes, but it's the need that they have to be something other than what they are. They're not really allowed to be children. They have to grow into men very quickly, but of course they're not, because underneath it they are children.
Was it deliberate that Adrian, his friend, did have a strong father figure?
Oh, I think so. Most definitely. Jerome has not seen his father since he was a child. And then the bad boy of the piece, Idelmar, his father's in prison. This is very sensitive territory because it's like saying, well, mothers can't raise sons. Well, I think they can. But as one of the boys said to me, only a man can teach you how to be a man. And this was like a 14-year-old boy, and I thought he probably got that from his mother. But I thought that was a very true thing to say. They need men to steer them, as well as women.
And it is that thing about being a man, because the route that Adrian chooses is actually the tougher route to take, isn't it?
Education, you mean? Yeah, I mean, Adrian decides to work hard and come top in four subjects, and the teacher says, well, if you continue to work hard, I'll get you a placement with my husband, and he's an architect, da, da, da. So we can see that Adrian's taking a very different route. When I spoke to the young people, you know, they were very much talking about easy money and the fact that you can have a good lifestyle without having to study. Because, of course, in my generation, the idea was, well, you have to work hard, and if you work hard, you'll get a good job, and then you'll have a good quality of life. Well, with some of these kids in this generation, they see that the opposite is true, that actually you don't have to really work hard, you can go down a criminal path and you can have a very good life. And they are very influenced, unfortunately, by some of the American rappers. Another thing that was said to me was, it's not just that if you start from the bottom, you can work your way up, and that then becomes a model, something they aspire to because they feel they're at the bottom. But it's also that if you go right down, if you become part of the underclass, then you have higher to climb.
Thinking about the audience here, it's mostly going to be adult learners. It's going to be a lot of parents. Was that deliberate, choosing the son's voice to get through to them?
It was, you know, but also secretly hope that teenage boys will read the book, because it is very easy to read, very quick, you know, you don't need to concentrate very long. Teenage boys and young men don't really read very much, that's a fact. So it was both the parents, but also the teenagers. I want them to read it.